Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4, and it's time for a little awards show. We're going to do our CBD mid-season awards. We're going to turn things over to the master of ceremonies, as it were, the birthday boy himself, our great producer, Dino Dave DiNatale. What's up, brother? Let's get
this award show underway. Let's get this going. We'll have some little fire it up music here. I'm trying to find my game show music, and I don't have it. I don't have it right now, so you get this. All right, guys. Our first CBD midseason award will be for the Cleveland Browns. Give us your offensive MVP. Get drum roll.
I've got two of them. They're co MVPs, and it's got to be Brian Hoyer and Jason Campbell. Without them, this team does not have four victories.
And I'm going to go with Josh Gordon. Ever since Josh Gordon's played for the Cleveland Browns, the team is 4-3 this season. They have a winning record. He's helped those quarterbacks who have only had the benefit of playing with him this season, Hoyer and Campbell. Josh Gordon, to me, when you think about, and you heard even Joe Thomas talk about it and put him kind of in the same breath with an A.J. Green, with a Calvin Johnson. This is a guy averaging 17.9 yards a catch, 9.5 yards per target, which if you remember in the preseason, we told you the magic number for Norv Turner's number one receiver is 17 yards a catch, 10 yards a target. So he needs to get another half yard per target up there. I think he will. But Josh Gordon, to me, is the difference maker, a game changer. He has been the offensive MVP just by his mere presence alone.
He's been remarkable, but I maintain it's the quarterbacks who make the receivers. And Josh Gordon, while good and does a really nice job for this football team, needed someone to get the rock in his hand, and Brandon Whedon did not do that effectively enough. The most transformative players were those two at quarterback, again, because they knew how to make the most of Josh Gordon, and they can obviously not make, it's past tense. I believe Jason Campbell will continue to do so. Take those two guys out of the equation, and this Browns team is irrelevant.
All right, from the NFL, give me your offensive MVP.
What do you got, Nathan?
I'll go first here. Obviously, yeah. I think this is an easy one, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's going to have to be Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos. Folks, listen to these numbers. And remember, these are eight-game numbers for Peyton Manning. That's all these are, eight-game numbers. He's got 2,919 yards passing, 29 touchdowns, and six interceptions. Six. He's also run for a touchdown this year. So 30 total touchdowns for Peyton Manning in just eight games. And here's an interesting one, because I don't know if a lot of people realize this. In 2004, he had the 49 touchdowns. That's his career high. He has not had a season, though, with more than 37 total touchdowns in any other year in his career. He's already got 30 total in eight games. Yeah. Peyton Manning, offensive MVP for me.
Easy pick is Peyton Manning. I want to just throw in an honorable mention, a guy that had to be in the conversation. I thought tight end Jimmy Graham of the Saints.
Graham is, I think, and this is a little bit of my fantasy football background talking, but the single biggest difference maker at one position that is not a quarterback this year. What he is able to do for that New Orleans Saints team is unbelievable. Right now, 49 catches, 746 yards, 10 touchdowns to lead all pass catchers in the National Football League. He's having an absolutely remarkable season, is Jimmy Graham. And I'll go one more since we're throwing an honorable mention. Yeah. I'm going to go Jamal Charles.
Yes.
Jamal Charles in the first nine games of this season already has more than 1,100 total yards, eight touchdowns. He really is that offense both as a runner and as a receiver. 47 catches for 389 yards through the first nine games of the season. He is a big reason why that Chiefs team is undefeated, because they don't have an explosive offense, but when you can turn around and give the ball to Jamal Charles and get over 1,100 yards basically in the first nine games of the year and eight touchdowns, you know your offense is going to still be very productive.
Yeah, he was my second runner-up. Yep. All right, Dino.
Let's stay in the NFL. Who is your defensive MVP so far in the National Football League?
Go ahead. You start this one.
I'm sorry. All right. I was deferring to
so
my
kind,
partner here.
So kind. This is a tough one. This is a good one.
Well, this is a good one. So I'm breaking this up over two guys. I think Tamba Hali, Justin Houston, even though they've been quieter of late, I think the tone that they set for that Chiefs defense and the large reason why that Chiefs team is 9-0 has been the play of these two guys, and they have been really impressive. They stopped. They looked a lot less impressive when they played both the Browns and actually the Bills the following week, but I don't think it's fool's gold. I think they're genuinely top defensive players, so I'm going to split it among those two dudes.
I'm going to split it as well with a couple of teammates and do the same thing you are, and I'm going to do it with basically the defensive line and then Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers. I think this Carolina Panthers defense has been one of the biggest surprises in the National Football League in this season. And if you look at how this team ranks in various categories this year in terms of points per game, in terms of yards per game allowed, this is a top five defense in just about every available metric. They're great against the run. They're phenomenal against the pass. This is a defense in Carolina that has been as good as any defense really in the entire National Football League. They drafted the two rookies up front. They give up the second fewest points per game, 13.2, second fewest yards per game, 299. This is, to me, a phenomenal defense, and I'm going to give it with the interior, the middle of that defense, the defensive tackles, and, of course, Luke Kuechly, their great middle linebacker.
All right, guys, back to the Browns now. I want your Browns defensive most valuable player.
Mine is going to be T.J. Ward. I think he has been spectacular, nothing short of spectacular at strong safety. This is the T.J. Ward I think we all expected to see when he was drafted in 2010. I think Ray Horton and his defense have gotten the max out of him, using him as a blitzer, as well as a guy who can cover well in passes, as well as a guy who can have some freedom to do a lot of different things in that secondary. He's not quite being used exactly as Troy Polamalu at Troy's best when Dick LeBeau and obviously when Ray Horton was with Dick LeBeau in Pittsburgh, but it's a very similar type of look, and I think Ward is fulfilling that. It's a contract year for him. He's playing very well with that in mind. There's no doubt. And yes, there are some other players who have been, I think, made an impact for this Browns team defensively, but I don't know that anyone has done it as well right now as T.J. Ward.
And he's on many midseason All-Pro teams. I think T.J. Ward is the vote as well. I'll give an honorary mention to Joe Hayden, who is face down this year already. A.J. Green, he's face down Jordy Nelson, Torrey Smith twice, Calvin Johnson, and none of them Mike Wallace. Wide receivers averaging about number ones, just over 32 yards per game against Joe Hayden this year. He has effectively eliminated the opposing top target in every single game this season, and I think Joe Hayden's done a great job. And then also that defensive front, and it's really a collection. The old defense gets an honorable mention, second in the NFL in sacks, number one in the NFL in yards per play allowed. So a lot of people chipping in. T.J. Ward, I think, and Joe Hayden, though, are the two whose numbers stand out and are the most open and likely to get a lot of individual accolades when it's all said and done. And want to also tip my cap to Phil Taylor, who I think has taken, you know, to this 3-4 and being the nose tackle in the middle of it very, very well. I think he's been a disruptive force and has had a very, very good season.
All right. Now, this is one of my favorites when we came up with here. I'm going to drum roll it. Let's see here. There we go. Give me, to this point, the biggest moment of the season, the break, the watershed moment for the Cleveland Browns.
I got it. It is Minnesota, Brian Hoyer, 51 seconds left, gets this Browns team to a touchdown that he delivers in connecting with Jordan Cameron. I think that's one of those moments that just resonates. That was a big-time play. Use the word clutch, whatever you want to call it, coming through in the most pressure-packed situation. That was the game that followed the trade of Trent Richardson. That was the game where the third stringer, Hoyer, got named the quarterback, and a lot of people, everybody was saying, they're taking the season, it's over. And just the emotion, just the drive, just taking that team down the field the way he did. And matter-of-factly saying, we're going to go in and score here. We're not going to go for a field. We're going to go in or tie, whatever. We're going in to win the game. And they did.
Everybody hated us that. Everybody hated us that week.
That was a tough week.
That was.
It was like a very long time ago. And I would agree with you. The touchdown pass to Jordan Cameron from Brian Hoyer to win that game and really save the season. Because if they lost that game with all the talk, I think it would have been easy to see this thing completely fall apart.
Yes.
And that was, for many, many reasons, just a massive, massive game. I'll give that one, and then kind of building off of that, I think the halftime speech, whatever went on in the locker room at halftime against Kansas City, the way that the team played in that second half and carried over to the win over Baltimore would be the next watershed moment to follow the first one. But yes, if they don't win that game in Minnesota, who knows what we're talking about at this point right now, and who knows how this Cleveland Browns season goes after what was certainly an interesting start to it, to say the least.
We wish we had video or audio of what took place in KC, because from everybody's account of that thing within the team, it was pretty explosive and pretty salty.
It certainly sounds that way, and we've heard allusions to it, you know, that Coach Chutt is very even keel, but when he knows that it's time to get to that type of a place, he is more than capable of getting there.
Yep.
All right. On Tuesday, on After Further Review, I asked you guys about the most disappointing team in the NFL. What I'd like here on the midseason award, the winner of the surprise team in the league to this point.
Go ahead, Nate.
It's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think anybody would think that they would go 9-0 like they have through the first nine games of the year. They're actually in first place in their division ahead of the Denver Broncos. Now, they do have two games against them still coming up in pretty much in the next 4 weeks. But that's, to me, that is the biggest surprise, the fact that they are 9-0 and really, the fact of the matter is they are the only undefeated team in the NFL, and it's not a joke. It's not a fluke. I know their schedule may not have been the toughest, but they have the second-best point differential in the NFL. Only two teams have beaten their opponents by combined more than 100 points so far this year. It's Denver at plus 125, San Diego plus 104. They are the two best in the NFL.
You know, it's hard to go with anyone but the Chiefs, 2-14 to 9-0. That just says it all. But it's... this is not a homer perspective. The Browns are in this conversation of surprise. We know they are. And just the national reaction to them, what we've seen, and primarily if you just wanted to make one point as to why you would consider the Browns for this, it is the three different starting quarterbacks in the first half of the season. When you say that, when you talk about that, and everyone we've had on the show this week, Steve Wyche went into it the other day. We heard Michael Irvin talk about it. So it's been kind of everyone's take on this Browns team is, how the hell do you survive that to still be relevant? And it's four wins compared to nine wins, and there's your difference on why it's probably not a stronger argument, but it's a pretty good argument that the Browns are a surprise team this year.
Yeah, no question. They are certainly a nice surprise.
Do I take it both of you guys would give Andy Reid Coach of the Year?
Yeah, you could skip that one. Yeah. Although Rob Johnson's right there.
Chud honorable mention.
Yeah, Chud honorable
it's
mention.
Andy in a landslide. Yeah.
All right, so this leads to the final two here, as we look ahead. Give me, you know, we've done it a couple times now. We're not going to play the schedule game, but I want the final record of your Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
All right, I'll take the first stab at it here.
I'm struggling with this one.
This is how I see it going down. I see the Cleveland Browns going over the final seven games, 4-3, finishing the year at 8-8. Now, the potential is there to go 5-2 and get to 9-7, and I think that they will be playing for that right over the last two games of the season.
I would love to endorse that. I would love to say ditto. I can't. right now, I'm close. I'm going to say the final record is 7-9. I think it will represent the kind of progress that this team has made in the right way. The step or the next big step to being what it wants to be, and we'll see a much bigger step also in 2014, I believe. My concern is Jason Campbell and the sustainability with his health. Yeah, he's going to take some hits, as well as this O-line is protecting. No line protects a quarterback that well, and unfortunately his history has been that of a guy who is going to take those hits that that put him on the sideline for a while. I'm afraid to say, and people won't like hearing this, that you're going to probably see some Brandon Whedon in the course of this final part of the season. If everything stayed, I know. If everything stayed healthy and stayed equal, the 8-8 is there. But that's perfection. That's great health. That's relying on a lot of things that you generally don't get. And my other concern is running the football and being able to grind it out when they need to.
All right, and gentlemen, I'm going to give you this opportunity. Revise your Super Bowl picks. We can, we know what we know now through, 9 weeks, heading to week 10. You can revise your Super Bowl picks.
Who did we pick?
I can't even remember.
Well,
but you can give me.
I thought you were keeping a record.
There
might not be a need for a revision.
That's right.
Revision.
Oh, exactly.
But give me your Super Bowl picks.
Well, I think I said New England and San Francisco again. Didn't I say that?
That sounds right.
I think
that's
where
you may have. I'm going to go.
Pretty sure I said New England, San Francisco.
I'm going to go with Denver and San Francisco. I do think Peyton Manning, with the fact that they've gotten Von Miller back, they have a good defense in that offense. I think they've got enough to get through. I really think New England is the only team in the AFC right now that I would consider a serious threat to them. I think the other teams all have pretty significant issues. Obviously, and I know people are going to say, well, wait a second, Indianapolis beat them, and I know that. And I know they beat them in a dome, but I think going into Denver in January, I think that could be a tough place to play for Andrew Luck, et cetera. I think that the Denver Broncos can make it, and I like the 49ers coming out of the NFC, which, by the way, I think has many possible teams that could make it and represent that conference.
Can Carolina beat San Francisco this weekend, you guys?
Sure they could.
Of course
defense.
I don't know that they will. Their defense has just been so good.
And at San Fran, right? It's going to be a tall order.
The house for that. Old Pedro Zagura is going to be in attendance.
Very nice.
He doesn't
nice.
Come home with losers.
But the last quick thing is, I hear what Nathan just said about Denver, and that could be a revision pick. I'll stay true, though, to the fact is there's no reason. It's not like I could say Denver. The only reason I would switch it is because I say, okay, well, look at what Denver's doing, those crazy Peyton Manning numbers. But I'm going to stay true to, I said it in whenever we said it, September, right before the start of the season. So I'll stick with New England.
All right, that's it. That's the CBD Mid-Season Awards.
And
a little crystal ball look into the end of the year. Well done, gentlemen.
Phenomenal. Thank you very much, Dino. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford. And as Pete Prisco from CBS stops by to give us a national perspective on our Cleveland Browns.